not only the sons are the wayward ones. There are mothers and fathers who said their goodbyes, and the sad eyes of children are looking through their tears and praying mom and daddy would hear their cry. Turn your heart towards home.
Thank you, Brother Shaddix. It is the desire of every father that their children turn their hearts toward home, and the desire of every Heavenly Father, of our Heavenly Father, for all of His children to turn their hearts toward home, toward heaven. I ask you to open your Bible this morning and to Proverbs chapter 17. We'll read only one verse as a text verse for our message today. Proverbs chapter 17, and we'll read verse number 6. When you find it, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we'll begin to read. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men. That's our grandchildren. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Now, God said that. And God is establishing the fact that fathers and grandfathers are important in the lives of children and grandchildren. And I hope you understand that, and that you're living your life to have the right influence on your children and grandchildren. There's a great need in our country today for Christian examples, especially in the area of fathers. We're so busy accumulating, getting, working, having, that we forget that our greater responsibility are to those children that we've brought into this world, to teach them and train them and set examples before them so they'll have an opportunity to know God and live for God. And I promise you, they may not understand Scripture, but they're not going to misunderstand a life that is lived and dedicated to the Heavenly Father. Father, help me this morning as I speak. I need your help. I want to be a blessing and yet a challenge to fathers this morning. Thank you for the good example of fathers in our lives. Thank you for your design so that fathers might have a powerful influence for right and for God in the lives of their children when we live for God and act as a Christian and a father ought to act. Help us, Lord God, to dedicate our hearts to live for You in such a way that our influence might have the right effect on our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. One of these days we'll stand before You. And Lord, it's not going to matter how much we made or how much we were worth or what we possessed. But what will matter and matter forever is the right influence we had on our children for Christ and for the things of God. Fill me with Thy Spirit, speak through me today, and help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak on this subject. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. The Word of God says in Proverbs 17:6 that grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Now we have a threefold crisis in our land today in reference to children and fathers. A huge number and a growing number of children do not have a father in their home. They're products of unwed mothers or divorces. And they do not have that example they need and God intended in the home. And then in our homes today, there's a great number of children that have stepfathers. And stepfathers are either will not or they're not allowed to be the authority figure in the home and marriage for the leadership and discipline of their children. And that's a shame. That's a crime. And then thirdly, few fathers are setting a proper biblical example for their children to follow today. Dr. Lee Robinson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And I believe that's true, whether it's in business or in sports. But I believe it's especially true in the home. Over the years, I've had the privilege of preaching many youth camps in camp weeks. And over the last 23 years, I've directed a camp. And I'm here to tell you, I could almost without fail pick out the teenagers without a father, a proper father-leader relationship in the home. It could be seen in their attitude. It could be seen in their actions. It could be seen in their absence at the altar, because of a heart that had been hardened against God. Not only today are we destroying our children, but our poor example as parents is hindering our grandchildren as well. Well, God reminds us that He would remember the sins of mother and father to the third and fourth generation of them that hate Him. I had a woman get mad at me because I quoted that verse one time. But she really wasn't mad at me. She was mad at God. But I remind you, it's not Bob Smith saying that. It's God stating that. Our text tells us that the Father is the glory of their children. God put it in the heart of every little boy and girl to love their fathers. They may be sorry fathers. That little boy and girl is going to love daddy. God never intended that that daddy be a sorry example in the home. God intended that that child have a father that walked with God. A father that loved his mother, his wife. A father that set a right example in the home. A father that was an example of Christianity and Bible principles leading their family. Our text tells us that the father is the glory of their children. My girls grew up loving their daddy. They still do. God made little boys and girls to love and idolize their father. To a small child, father is the God image. As the adult looks to God, the child looks to their father. And if they have the right relationship with daddy, and daddy is a right kind of father, that child won't have problem turning that love and affection to God as they get older. It'll affect their teenage year. And I might say to you that if it is a stepfather in the home, that stepfather ought to be that example for God and for leadership in the home. And mama, if you will not allow your husband, the stepfather, to be that example and have that leadership and exercise decisions and discipline in the home, something's wrong with your marriage. Now, I'm not making friends this morning. Have you ever heard the statement, "Boy, that child sure looks like their father"? I see it all the time in our children. I see it in grandchildren. I see it in your children. I see it in their appearance. I see it in their attitude. I see it in their talk and actions. The child learns from their father. The fact is, most children want to be like their daddy. Our actions give them our consent to do and act like we act. So walk a little plainer, daddy. Walk a little plainer. Years ago, when my grandson Kyle was just a little boy, I'd take him to camp with me. Daddy and Mama were in charge of the teenagers, and Kyle would stay with me and Grandma up in the motel room. And one day Kyle said to me, and Kyle graduated with a master's degree last year from Bible College, but he said, when he was a little fella, about like 7 years old, he said, "Man, I love camp, Pops." And I said, "Well, Kyle, what do you like best about camp? Is it the horses or the games or the refreshments?" He said, "Uh-uh. I just like going everywhere you go, Pops, with you." And you know, that's the attitude of your children. They just like to go with daddy. Just be with daddy. So I'm begging you today, daddies, walk a little plainer. This poem says, "Walk a little plainer, daddy," said a little boy so frail. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you're like I want to be. Then I'll have a little boy who'll want to follow me. And I want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, daddy, for we must follow you." And I want to say this morning, daddy, walk a little plainer. Walk precisely. Walk precisely. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 17, "For every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father," talking about our Heavenly Father, "with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or of turning." God is consistent. God is precise. He doesn't vary to the right or left. And God says we as fathers are to be like Him. We're to be God-like. Walk precisely, Father. The word precise means strictly defined, distinctly, with no variation, consistently. Our children should know what we believe and where we stand on all matters of importance in life. It ought not be kept a secret. We ought to let them know what we believe and where we stand. We must learn to live every day according to our known belief, knowing that our children know what we believe. It provides order in the home. And our children are depending on us to walk precisely, so home will not be a battle zone. It will not be a war zone. They deserve to have peace in the home. So walk precisely, Daddy. Order and peace in the heart and soul of our children depend upon our walking precisely. Boundaries ought to be strictly defined in our lives as well as our family. And let me say something to you, daddies. Don't just tell your children what their boundaries are. Let them know your boundaries also. And walk precisely within your boundaries. It's a hard thing to expect our children to do right when we take the liberties as adults to do wrong. Walk precisely, Daddy. Inconsistent living by fathers result in inconsistent living and double-mindedness in our children. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. And I want you to know double-minded children are unstable children. So walk precisely, Daddy. Walk a little plainer. Children need to know and see what Daddy believes about God and His Bible. Somebody asks my children, what does Daddy believe about the Bible and about God? I want them to know. I want them to know. I want to live by that principle, and I want them to have the peace of knowing what truth Daddy holds. It'll help them. Our children need to know what Daddy believes about Christ and salvation. Walk precisely. This is what the Bible says, and this is what I believe. It gives your children direction and comfort and security and hope. Our children need to know what we believe about church and Christian service. Where are they going to get that? They ought to get it from Daddy. They ought to get it from Daddy. Well, we take them to church. You expect the church to do more than you're doing, Daddy? You have them 7 days a week. We have them a couple of hours a week. They ought to know what you believe, and what you believe ought to be in line with the Word of God. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk precisely. By the way, our children ought to know what we believe about Christian living and separation from the world. And let me stop right there and say, too often they do know, and that's the reason they live so loosely. They don't see the example in Mama and Daddy. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Their belief and action is going to be formed by what you believe. They're going to establish their belief based on what they know you believe. You say, well, I don't believe in forcing that on my children. The devil believes in enforcing what he believes on your children. Well, I'm just going to let my kids decide. Ultimately, they're going to have to decide, but I'm going to give them enough information in life so they can decide biblically and intelligently where to stand and what to believe. The reason our children don't love to come to church is they got that from Mama and Daddy. They heard you complain about it. They heard you criticize it. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk precisely. This is what I believe. This is where I stand. You get up on Sunday morning, or you don't get up on Sunday morning and go to church, you've taught your children that church is not important. God, our children have to get up and say, what are we doing this Sunday? I never had to ask that question after Mom and Daddy got saved. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if a revival was taking place or some special service at the church, I never had to ask, what are we going to do? I knew what we were going to do because Daddy had already settled that. Inconsistent parents are one of the most difficult problems and hindrances among teenagers today. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. And I might say, walk precisely. Secondly, Daddy, walk predictably. Walk predictably. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't believe the Joshua kids had to ever ask Daddy, what are we going to do about this? Daddy was predictable. It had already been settled. It had already been stated. It had already been written down. Look again at James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. I know how God is going to act in regard to sin. God's never going to look favorable on our sin. He's predictable. I know how God stands in reference to repentance and faith. I know He is predictable. I know what God thinks about faithfulness. He is predictable in that area. Even so, the child should know how Daddy's going to act regardless of the situation. Walk predictably, Daddy. I knew if I did certain things, my daddy is going to take me to the barn. And he wasn't going to say, let's shuck some corn. He was going to tear my backside up. He was predictable in that. I knew what broke his heart. That never changed. I knew what broke his heart. I knew what made him proud of me. I knew what got him upset. He was predictable. I knew what my daddy would do if anyone came to my house drinking. He'd say, I'm sorry. You're not going to come into my house drinking alcohol. I've got a wife and children here, and they're not going to be in front of that kind of example. I saw his uncle come to our house one time, an uncle that he had not seen for a number of years, and that uncle was about half drunk. He knocked on the door. Daddy went to the door. He smelled the alcohol and he called him by name. And he says, I love you, but I do not want to give any kind of indication to my children that I approve of drinking. When you're sober and without alcohol, you can come back to see us. But you're not going to come into my house that way. That was predictable. Daddy was predictable. I knew what he was going to do in that area. I knew what Daddy was going to do if I lied to him. I didn't have to wonder, well, he won't care. I knew what he was going to do. He was predictable. I knew if I stole something, what my daddy was going to do. He was predictable. I knew if I got in trouble at school, I was in trouble at home also. I knew that. It was predictable. Some of your children don't know that because they know you call the teacher and take up for your child when your child is dead wrong. Walk predictably, Daddy. I knew that what we were going to do on Saturday afternoon. Saturdays, we got up and worked in the fields until noon. At noon, we came home and we took our bath, our Saturday bath, whether we needed it or not. Saturday afternoon, we got in that pickup and we went to town to buy groceries. Every Saturday afternoon. We didn't go to the store every day. We went once a week and got everything we needed for the week. I knew what we was going to do on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm simply saying to you, if you want to give your children a gift, walk precisely and walk predictably, Daddy. Your children shouldn't have to wonder or ask the question. My daddy, being predictable, gave me boundaries and warning signs and security and peace. So walk a little plainer, Daddy. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Walk precisely. Walk predictably. Thirdly, Daddy, walk persistently. Walk persistently. Ephesians 6:4 says, Father, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A parallel verse in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So be persistent, Daddy. Be persistent. All of the verses that I've just read are saying be persistent. Don't do things halfway. Don't do it once or twice and then quit. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Be persistent. Our children know if they keep on asking the question and taking no for an answer that you'll give in. You know, we say some dumb things to our children. If you do that one more time, I'm going to kill you. Well, they know you're not going to kill them, so they'll just try it again. And if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. But you don't spank them, so they just keep on doing it. I hated those words. My mama used to say, or my daddy used to say it, son, I'd get in trouble at church. You wouldn't believe that. I'd get in trouble at church, and my daddy'd say, son, when we get home, I'm going to tear your backside up. You know what daddy never forgot? I'd sit in church and say, oh God, let daddy forget. Let mama forget. Oh, God. They never forgot. They were persistent. They were persistent. Let me give you one of my favorite sayings. Failure cannot cope with persistence. Failure cannot cope with persistence. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Be persistent as a daddy and mother. Raise your children. Walk persistently. Dear God, the way we live and the way we act, the one thing we're teaching our children is to quit, to give up. Too much is at stake for us to give up living for God and training our children. And let me tell you, training our children does not mean you tell them one time. Bless God, I've told you once. The training process requires you to be persistent. Again and again and again. Say the same thing. Mean the same thing. Hey, training our children means that you teach them the principle. It means also that you set the example before them. You don't teach them what to do. You show them what to do as well as teach them. You set the boundaries and let them know there's consequences when they break the rules, they violate the rules. Be persistent in it. I love to quail hunt. And I've had a quail dog for many, many years. One time when I was in evangelism, I was preaching a revival in Paris, Texas at a little church. And at the end of the week, the pastor said, "Preacher, I'm ashamed to tell you, we don't have anything to give you. We didn't even have enough money come in to pay for your motel room." He said, "But I tell you what, for a love offering, I'll give you a little bird dog pup." That was my love offering that week, a bird dog puppy. That was my first bird dog. Her name was Julie. I came home, my wife, one of the first things she asked, she said, "Honey, how'd we do?" She knew that it was either bread and milk or feathers. And so I said, "Well, honey, God gave us a bird dog for a love offering." She said, "A bird dog?" And I was kind of discouraged over it too, because I knew there were bills to pay. And I started working with that little old bird dog and training that bird dog. And bird dog became a great blessing and a great diversion in my life. And I've had a bird dog ever since. Still got one. But to train them, you've got to be plain. You've got to be persistent. You don't tell them one time. You've got to repeat the command over and over again. You don't say it one way one time and say it and mean something different the next time. You've got to be persistent. And you know, if you are, you can train an animal to obey you. Our children have greater intelligence than animals. And the reason they don't obey is we don't train them. Some of you have dogs and cats that are more obedient to you than your children are because you spent more time and were more persistent with the animals than you have been with your children. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk precisely. Walk predictably. Walk persistently. Fathers, your children depend on you. Be persistent. All of the time, and be persistent, especially in tough times and hard times. Don't you understand that, Father, you're your children's protector, you're their provider, you're their example, you're their leader, and the Bible says you're their glory. You're their glory. I guarantee you, children had rather have a daddy that is persistent, precise, and predictable. That's a good daddy, a loving daddy, that's got time for their children. They'd rather have that than some new gadget, even a new car. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk precisely. Walk predictably. Walk persistently. You can't waver. You must not quit. You must be persistent. Some daddies falter when they find themselves in the valley of trials. And our children see you. And when they get in that situation, they'll falter also, because you taught them how. Some daddies falter in the storms and battles. And our children have watched you, and when they get in that storm, they'll falter too. Some daddies falter in prosperity. You get a little something in your pocket and you think you don't need God anymore. And your children are watching and they'll think if they can be successful, they won't need God either. Some daddies stumble in temptation. And your children will be taught it's okay to stumble also. Let us not forget, we are teaching our children how to walk. So walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk precisely. Walk predictably. Walk persistently. Someday, when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. then I'll have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. Let me say fourthly, Daddy, we must learn not only to walk precisely and walk predictably and walk persistently, we must learn to walk prayerfully. Prayerfully. I want you to know the responsibility of raising children. We find it easy to have them. It's a natural thing for daddies and mamas to have kids. But I want you to know it takes some work to train them and raise them for God. So walk precisely, walk predictably, walk persistently, walk plainly. If we're going to do that, we've got to learn to walk prayerfully. I want my children to know that I talk to God. I want them to know that I ask God to help me. That I'm not sufficient in myself apart from God. I want them to know that I depend on God. I not only believe it, that He is a heavenly Father, I believe He is Lord and Master of my life. I want them to know that I believe He has the last word about my life. I want them to know I talk to Him. I pray about my life. I want my children to know that I pray for my wife. I want my children to know that I pray for them. I want my children to know that I pray for others as well. So walk prayerfully. Hey, daddies, you ought to have a time when you have a prayer meeting with your children. Brother Cliff Donnelly has a son named Luke. Every Saturday morning, unless Luke's got poison ivy, every Saturday morning in men's prayer meeting, Luke comes with his daddy. Sometimes he prays with his daddy. Sometimes I get to be Luke's prayer partner. But he comes with a prayer list already written out. Brother Donnelly, you're doing something for your son that money will never be able to buy for him. Walk prayerfully. I remember one time as a boy growing up in East Texas, there was a terrible drought. And of course, my daddy in the area where I lived were farmers. Crops were burning up in the field, and they got together at church and decided they're going to have a round-the-clock prayer meeting till it rained. And they set up the clock so that every hour a man was at the church praying for rain. My daddy's time was sometime in the middle of the night, somewhere around 2, 3, or 4, and daddy came in and woke me up. He said, "Son, it's our time to pray." And we got in the old pickup and we drove over to Hayden to the church and went inside and got on our knees. And for an hour, me and Daddy prayed. And you know, it was just a couple of weeks till it rained. The drought broke. And I'm here to tell you, I was walking around like I was Elijah. Me and Daddy prayed and God sent rain. Oh, I would to God your sons and daughters would see Daddy praying, would know that God has answered your prayers. Walk a little plainer, Daddy. Walk precisely. Walk predictably. Walk persistently. Walk prayerfully. I'm telling you, just providing them with a roof over their head and food to eat is not enough. They need a daddy that's an example. They need a daddy that's there for them. They need a daddy that walks plainly so they can understand how to live. So walk, Daddy, plainly. Walk persistently. Walk precisely. Walk predictably. And oh, dear God, walk prayerfully. There comes a time when the children are no longer under our protective arm. They're no longer under our umbrella of authority. There comes a time when the only thing we can do is have the influence of our life over them and our prayer for them. So walk plainly, Daddy, while you've got opportunity. Walk precisely, walk persistently, walk predictably, and walk prayerfully. No one can take the place of Daddy. You are charged by God with the responsibility to lead, to train, to love, to provide for your children. Lead them, train them, love them as He loved you, and to provide for them as He provided for you. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. Father, take the message this morning. Use it to call some daddy to determine they're going to live their life as a daddy ought to and walk precisely and walk predictably and walk persistently and walk prayerfully. And raise their children to honor and glorify you. All the need in our country today for daddies to walk plainly before their children. I wonder, Heavenly Father, if there's some daddy here that you have spoken to that needs to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. I wonder if there's some daddy that's been living inconsistently before their children. Instead of giving peace and security, they've caused confusion and uncertainty. I wonder if there's a daddy here today, Heavenly Father, that sees their children while they still have opportunity to make a difference in their life. They understand they've got to get some things straight in their own life before they can be what they ought to be for you. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. On this Father's Day, I pray that you would stir in the hearts of every daddy here our responsibility, not just to make a living for them, but to be leaders and examples and trainers of our children for the glory of God. Help us to walk plainly. Help us to walk persistently. Help us to walk precisely. Help us to walk predictably. Help us to walk prayerfully. And may our children grow up rejoicing in the fact that they had a daddy that prepared them for life and eternity. Speak to our hearts, we ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed.